Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you've downloaded it from. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading us. And please do rate us, tell your friends about us. We have a great guest coming up. This is segment 877B. The news of the week is the A segment. The guest of the week is always the B segment. And we're talking with microbiologist Kurhan Krishnan, who's looked at a number of different processes about the bacteria inside your intestine and, in fact, has decided that there are bacteria that you can supplement with yourself that really make a difference. We've talked a lot about bacteria in sauerkraut and in kimchi, even in yogurt, but best ones are the ones we've talked about that are spore-formed, so they survive the acid in your stomach. And those you get from pills. We'll talk about that in a second. But since I was just running out to have a cup of coffee, and coffee does decrease your risk of cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, even type 2 diabetes and 9 cancers if you've got, if you're a fast metabolizer, which 85% of us in America are. I imagine maybe even coffee changes the bacteria for the good in your belly. What's the data on that, Dr. Kurhan?
That's a great question. And as it turns out, coffee and other things like red wine with all these good phenolics in there can increase the diversity of the microbiome. And it's something that I often recommend after the end of lectures as some practical things people can do. You know, a little bit of fasting, and then adding in some black coffee in the morning, especially in a fasted state, seems to have a positive impact on the diversity of the microbiome. And then, you know, things from like red wine. So absolutely.
Well, since I end at dinner every night with a glass of red wine instead of dessert as the last thing I eat, and the first thing I eat in the morning is black coffee with some of the with a couple baby aspirin and some other anti-inflammatories is my first choice. Maybe I'm getting all that benefit, and maybe that's why I feel so good. But tell us, diversity is important for longevity. Do we know why diversity is important for longevity?
Yeah, there's a couple of functions of diversity that that support longevity and also reduce the risk of disease. One of them is the functional redundancies within the microbiome. So we now know that about 90% of metabolic activity on a daily basis actually comes from DNA that's present within the microbiome. You know, there's 3.5 million microbial genes.
We skipped ahead a little too fast. I think at least my producer is signaling to me that we ought to define what the microbiome is and that I'm talking about diversity of the bacteria inside your intestine. So let's go and get back to the beginning. I should introduce our guest, who is microbiologist Kurhan Krishnan, the chief science officer at the Microbiome Labs, and his website is thriveprobiotic.com. I guess that's T-H-R-I-V-E, probiotic.com, one word, no spacing. And go ahead, Dr. Krishnan, tell me more about the microbiome and diversity, and we're really talking about bacteria, not other things in the inside you.
Yeah, exactly. So the word microbiome basically means the totality of microbes and viruses and their DNA, and with respect to the host, which is us, you know. So many people might not be familiar that we're really kind of a walking, talking rainforest. You know, we're covered in thousands and thousands of species of bacteria and viruses and protozoa and things like that. So we house a really complex ecology both on our body and especially in our body. And the largest density of that is in our digestive tract. Now, we've been studying the effect of changes to this ecology on our health quite a bit over the last 9 or 10 years. And one of the themes is that the more microbes we have, the more diversity in microbes we have within our digestive tract, the healthier we tend to be and the more resilient we are to chronic illness. So, you know, things that support the diversity are just really good behaviors to do every single day.
And now the things to do every day to support diversity, one of the things we in medicine do and we've sold to people during flu season like we're in now is to use the gels, the alcohol gels on our hands and when we touch other things. Does that change our microbiome when we do that?
What we've seen is that it can play a significant role in changing the microbiome of the skin. The skin also has its own unique population of bacteria, and when you disturb the population of bacteria on the skin, it can lead to sensitivities like atopic dermatitis and so on that people are studying quite extensively now. But simple use of hand sanitizer on the hand temporarily will not necessarily disrupt the overall microbiome in any significant way, but chronic use of it every single day, you know, 365 days a year, can reduce the kind of exposures we need to have to microbes in our world that actually help tutor and support the immune system and then also increase our diversity. So one of the things I always tell people is, you know, cold and flu season, we need to be, you know, vigilant about hygiene and very simple aspects of hygiene. But, you know, you don't have to use the hand sanitizers 5 times a day, 10 times a day, every day of the year, you know. It's good to get a little bit of dirt on your hands and get some exposure to these bacteria.
Now, tell us about your studies on leaky gut. There's this thing called leaky gut, and it used to be thought of as, this is kind of a weird part of medicine, and it isn't really true. But tell us what you've really found recently.
Yeah, and so the fancy term for it, if I'm speaking at a medical conference, I would call it metabolic endotoxemia. At most integrative medicine conferences and all that, you can refer to as leaky gut, and they understand what it is. And really, it is a lot like what it sounds. The intestinal lining is supposed to act as a barrier between the outside world, which is all the food and the you know, beverages and toxins and all that enter your body through your mouth, and act as a barrier and not allowing those things, including all the bacterial and viral components, from going from the digestive tract into your blood system. Because once they enter your blood system, they cause this havoc of inflammation.
So let's go a little slower here. What's happening is inside your body, you have bacteria in the gut, and they produce this toxin called endotoxin that is normally kept from you being absorbing it, because you've got between the cells in your intestine what we call a tight junction. And so is that correct so far?
Exactly, yeah. So about 70%+ of the 100 trillion bacteria that regularly live in your digestive tract, they have this endotoxin. We refer to it as LPS endotoxin, as part of their normal cell wall structure. Now, when it's sitting inside the bacteria, it poses no problem to the host, which is us. The problem is bacteria tend to die off on a regular basis, and especially die off when we're eating food. So the process of digestion, the secretion of bile acids, secretion of pancreatic enzymes, just the physical movement of food alone starts to kill off bacteria in your intestines. Now, the problem is when they die, then they release this toxin into what we call the lumen, which is the hole in the intestines, the tube, if you will. And if it stays in the tube, it moves out with defecation, with poop, and it doesn't cause any problem. The problem arises is when the lining of your intestine is not acting like a good barrier, and it allows that toxin to migrate from the tube past the lining into the circulatory system. So then every time we eat food, what's happening is you're getting a huge influx of toxin actually migrating from the tube into the circulatory system.
Now,
and it can be measured clinically, which is what we did.
Now, do we get that normally? And one of the questions asked by my associate producer who's here in the room with me and listening to this is, do big meals cost more than small meals?
That's exactly right. So one of the there's two features of meals that really make it more profound than others. Number one is really high caloric meals. So overeating tends to create more die-off and more release of this endotoxin, and then more of it penetrates through the intestinal lining into the blood system. The other thing is meals that tend to be really high in fat, especially, bad fat, the kind of fat that you would see in fast food, oxidized fats, fats that are used in frying oils. Those things seem to stimulate more of a release and absorption of these toxins. And so, what you eat tends to have dictate the intensity of the toxin level moving into the system. And then what's crazy about it is the university we work with to do our study, the University of North Texas, they had previously published a study showing that it takes the body almost 2 weeks from an inflammatory standpoint to recover from a single meal. All of these inflammatory markers and things that are associated with diseases like diabetes and heart disease and Alzheimer's and all that are elevated at such a high level after a meal that it takes your body 2 weeks to recover from it if you don't eat again.
More with Dr. Michael Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Yes, I'm not kidding. This is really cool. Health IQ can save you up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. And these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Now, you have to qualify by taking a Health IQ quiz or other lifestyle quizzes like the cycling IQ or running IQ quiz. And you can also get additional savings by submitting actual data such as race results from a 5K that you've run. And Health IQ doesn't just take this info and pass it on to an insurer. They are with you every step of the way, from interest to application through underwriting to the final policy enforcement. It's pretty cool. Now, by being healthy, you not only live a better life, but now you can also pay less for your life insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ownersmanual or mention the promo code ownersmanual when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Once again, check it out at healthiq.com/ownersmanual. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen.
How do we get, as one of the ways, let's go and talk about one of the ways you can do better is by having better bacteria. That is the type of bacteria a key component? We've talked about diversity of bacteria, but how do we know whether we have good bacteria or not, and how do we get good bacteria?
Yeah, and that's really the fundamental question. So what we're finding is if you have the right protective strain that you introduce into your body on a regular basis, it seems to be able to almost completely protect your body from this toxin moving from the tube in your intestines into your circulatory system. What we did is we were thinking about, where did our ancestors get their probiotics, right? We humans have been evolving over a couple of million years, and they've created these like really mutualistic or symbiotic relationships with bacteria in the environment, and our ancestors happened to eat a lot of dirt. They were hunters and gatherers and foragers, so they consumed a lot of bacteria from the environment. And we hypothesize that there are environmental bacteria that might afford protection against this effect. And sure enough, what we did is when we took bacteria that would be present in the environment, these are particularly called Bacillus endospores, and you add them before a meal, they seem to completely protect the gut from this migration of toxins from inside to out. Now, this hasn't been shown with any other conventional type of probiotic that you would find in most products in the stores.
So tell us, hold on, Dr. Krishnan.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. So tell us what type of bacteria was this and a probiotic was it?
Yeah, so this is a four-strain probiotic called Just Thrive. It contains Bacillus subtilis, Bacillus coagulans, Bacillus clausi, and Bacillus indicus. So four different Bacillus bacteria. Now,
Do you need all four, or could one do it? And is one more important than the others, or why do you need all four of these?
Yeah, and that's really important because what we're looking at is when you look in nature, you almost never find these bacteria by themselves. They always seem to be in company of one another. So when we dug deeper into what their relationship is in terms of helping the gut, it seems like this consortium, this grouping of having all four of them gives you the most profound effect. So, for example, coagulans is a very important bacteria that can increase the acidity in the digestive tract. That actually allows for the other three bacteria to take hold better than if coagulants wasn't there. You know, and then indicus is one that produces these antioxidants in the gut, which is really fascinating. So it produces things like alpha and beta carotene, lycopene, lutein, astaxanthin. So it's getting in and it's reducing the oxidative stress in the gut. Again, then thereby reducing inflammation and allowing the other bacteria to settle in. So they seem to work really well as a group, and individually they probably have some benefit, but we're seeing the better effect from them as a group.
And if you go further on this, are these associated with aging in general or disease? Do we have any data that this actually changes disease rather than just changes the, if you will, the quote, endotoxemia that you get?
Yeah, so that's an important distinction, you know. So one of the things we're looking at, because it's a supplement, we're looking at how does it affect mechanisms that we know are related to significant disease. So this endotoxemia process has been published quite extensively, showing that it's the major driver of cardiovascular disease, diabetes. A couple of studies have published that shows that this particular toxin from your intestines is the primary insult that sets off the process of diabetes. Also, most recently, it shows that this particular toxin is the one that can get into the brain from the gut. It goes into the circulatory system, gets into the brain, and starts off the process of Alzheimer's. It does the same thing in neurons for Parkinson's. So it's really a potent driver of chronic illness. So then when we're looking at it, we had two steps to our studies. First, we wanted to see, can we stop the migration of this toxin by using a probiotic? And sure enough, that's what we published last year and showed that, yes, we can do that. Now, the second set of studies that we're doing five clinical trials right now where we're showing that we're reducing things like triglyceride levels. We're improving people's ability to be sensitive to insulin. So pre-diabetics are seeing significant improvements in their function. We're doing autoimmune studies right now on rheumatoid arthritis, for example, and we're seeing significant markers and disease parameters changing. So it seems like if you can reduce this LPS after a meal from getting into your circulatory system and all the inflammation that goes along with it, it can play a significant role in helping people reduce the risk factors for chronic illnesses.
So now you've shown this by using one particular probiotic. Have you tested it with other probiotics at all?
So we've tested it not in humans with other probiotics, but in a gut model system. It's just too expensive to test a whole bunch of probiotics in a human system. So we wanted to find our best candidate. And in our tests for the in the human system, in the laboratory system, we found that other strains, commonly used strains, didn't really have this similar effect. So we think it's a very specific effect of these endospores. You know, I read an article that you had written, a very short one about mentioning these spores. You call them the Chuck Norris of probiotics. You know, so it seems like these tough Chuck Norris probiotics have the ability to get in there and actually protect the host. And we might have outsourced that job to them because for most of the human evolution, we ate dirt and we got big exposure to these bacteria.
So the website you can learn more about this, and does it have the science on there too, would be thriveprobiotic.com, which is a commercial company, but they have a lot of education on that website as well. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. They can actually download the study itself because we chose to publish it in the GI journal. It's called the World Journal of Gastrointestinal Pathophysiology. What we liked about the journal is, of course, it's a GI journal, but also it's an open source journal. So the paper is actually free for people to be able to download. So they can download that and then a whole bunch of other information on how these particular spores work to protect the body. And in fact, we're going to be publishing a study this year that shows by taking these four spore strains, we're actually increasing the diversity in the microbiome too. So they seem to be helping the rest of the good bacteria grow and really kind of change the overall picture of the gut flora.
Thanks very much, if you will, Dr. Kurhan Krishnan, K-R-I-S-H-N-A-N, and he is the Chief Scientific Officer at Microbiome Laboratories. His website is thriveprobiotic.com. I want to thank you very much for being our guest, and thank you for listening to this informative discussion. Leaky gut syndrome, it can be caused by two big meals. It can be caused and made worse by, if you will, fried fats and saturated fats. It is helped by having the right bacteria inside your gut. Those right bacteria are the four forms of Bacillus or bifidobacteria that are mentioned and that are on that thriveprobiotic.com and in that preparation, I assume, and on that website, you can learn more about it. We do want to have a microbiome that is diverse, and that is one of the ways of doing it. Hopefully, you'll make that choice, and as he said, having a little red wine in the evening, probably even with white wine, but you want flavonoids in your evening meal and you want black coffee to wake up. He said those actually improve things as well. I got to thank either Sonar Ben or it's Ben for great engineering. Thank you, the listener, especially for downloading us. 50,000 plus of you a week can't be wrong, we hope. We have a great segment on News of the Week every week. Hope you download that A segment. And the B segment is always a superb guest with really interesting information, just like Dr. Krishnan presented today. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another News of the Week and action steps for you so you can live at the top of your curve till near the end. Thanks again.